I'm Fiona, and I used to work, this story is about the time that I was working in a church in Leicester. This is a card I found the other day. It says, for a special friend on your birthday, and I kept it because it's really important to me. It's from a dear friend in the last church I worked in. I'm going to call her Cheryl, that's not her real name, and I've got her permission to speak about her. And it was through learning to love her that the Lord changed me, and he changed my heart, and he changed her. And I just want to tell you the story of that friendship and how the Lord's been at work. So I was a women's pastoral worker. I was in a staff meeting, weekly staff meeting, minding my own business, as you do. And I was asked by my boss, the pastor, to meet up with a young woman who'd just been let out of prison. She had, the prison chaplain contacted us, said that she'd become a Christian in prison, and could we get in touch with her and support her? I later found out that Cheryl had been in solitary confinement for particularly bad behaviour in the prison. A nun had visited her, given her a New Testament, and because Cheryl was bored and lonely, she'd read some of the New Testament, and the Lord had wonderfully met with her. Now, I'm going to be really honest. Sitting in that staff meeting, I didn't think how wonderful. I thought, Lord, how could you do this to me? This is going to be really difficult and really messy, and life is already quite stressful. So we began by meeting in the church building. She's a tall woman. She wears black all the time, size 9 boots, and she's quite scary to look at. So it's important not to be naive, as we love people. I met with her with our male pastoral worker, so not on my own. And we spent weeks meeting together, looked at small passages in the Bible. She struggled with reading, so we had to keep things very simple. She started coming to church on the bus, which was a massive deal. She hated walking into a room full of people, couldn't do it. So she'd sit at the back next to me on the end of the row where she could escape quickly. Now, 20 years later, it is amazing what the Lord has done in her. She is regular on Sundays. She is in a home group. And she is the mainstay of the Mums and Toddlers Refreshments group. Loves the kids. The Lord has grown in me a love and affection for her, and it's a humbling thing, and it's a privilege. She is very precious to him, and I like to think that Jesus would have made a beeline for her in his life on this earth. And we're still in touch, hence the card. We meet up for coffee. Just a couple of verses from 1 Thessalonians. Paul talking to the South Thessalonian church, because we loved you so much, we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well. And then verse 11, for you know that we dealt with each of you as a father deals with his own children, encouraging, comforting, and urging you to live lives worthy of God, who calls you to his kingdom and glory. God changed Paul from someone who was breathing out murderous threats against Christians to someone who loved Christians with a deep fatherly, motherly love. He's concerned to please God. He delights to share his life. That means being vulnerable, not being detached. It's not a duty. And he encourages, comforts, urges, and all the time he has a future perspective on what's going on. And as we as Christians learn to love people, the most important thing is the Lord of love. That's what we sang about yesterday. He is the Lord of love. That's what we need to hold on to. We love him and we love others because he loved us. If we lose sight of that, then we might as well give up because it's too hard. He loved us when he sent his son to die for us. And he is where we look and where we dwell to help us to love others. My heart is weak, it's inconsistent, it's full of my own stuff. I often don't want to love people, I can't love people, I simply can't do it without his help. And we need to often ask for his spirit of love to fill us and give us his love for people, which is a wonderful love. It's not my love, it's his love. So I've got 2 points and 3 challenges. Learning to love people is costly. I'm sure most of you already know this. It's very tiring. I was driving around the city centre in the dark, visiting the homeless hostels where she was billeted. Lots of time, lots of meetings, lots of lifts, lots of kind of inconvenience to me, lots of Bible studies. I remember, this is terrible, trying really hard not to fall asleep. I don't know if anyone's had that. When I was meeting with her, I was so exhausted. We have to be patient. Amy Carmichael talks about having the patience of our Savior with souls who grow slowly. My soul grows slowly. I need to be patient. It's slowly, it's bit by bit, one step forward, two steps back. Started off by asking her to get me a coffee. That was a massive deal for her to walk through the church and get me a coffee at the end of the service. That was really big. Very slow change. It's emotionally really draining. She would phone me up in a really bad state. She was kicking off somewhere. She couldn't manage her anger. She'd had a bust up with somebody in a shop because they'd looked at her funny. Somebody had bumped her car in a Tesco car park. And all the time she was terrified she'd be back inside prison again. There was a real toxic fear and anger in her. I was way out of my depth. There was police, there was all sorts of shenanigans going on, blue lights, and she was threatening to kill people with knives. And I was like, I have no idea what I'm doing here. But the Lord helped, and he helped me to see beyond the scary big woman in black to a small, vulnerable child who had been brought up very badly. Her emotional age is about 7. And he helped me to see actually underneath what was really going on with her. So scary. She's on lots of medication, very unpredictable. I went with her to the GP, the psychiatrist, to try and help her. She behaved badly. I remember I went out to a service to help a student who's having a panic attack. And Cheryl stomped out after us, yelled across the road at this poor student who was gasping for breath, "People like you shouldn't be allowed out. I wish you were dead," which, as you can imagine, didn't really help very much with the student. So after that, I met with her. I said, "That is not okay. You cannot behave like that." And actually, she never did that again. So we have to be willing to challenge people. We have to have empathy. She had trauma and neglect. She couldn't connect emotionally with people. She couldn't articulate the gospel in our kind of, well, I'm in Oxford at the moment, kind of academic middle-class circles that some people move in. You know, she couldn't articulate the gospel. She can't in a clear way, but she knows and loves Jesus, and she knew that he died for her. So in terms of building relationships, our relationship with the Lord and our relationship, so vertical and horizontal relationship with other people, cannot be separated. My love for the Lord helps me to love her. It helps her to see that the Lord loves her. It helps her to love the Lord, and then it helps her to love others. That's kind of how it works. We need to see evidences of grace and look carefully for that. Wonderfully, she never drank. She never took drugs. She was good with money. Those were massively brilliant things in her walk with the Lord. She was reliable, much better at timekeeping than me. I was always late for our meetings. She's not manipulative. Manipulative people, very hard to love. It gets very messy. She is not like that. She had years of psychotherapy, which were really helpful. I got her to help me with little tasks. Years ago, we used to buy vouchers, gift vouchers from shops. I used to give her 20 quid. I needed a present for a friend and say, go to Monsoon or wherever, buy me a gift voucher so I can give it to my friend. And she was wonderful, but I was trusting her, taking a risk. She was always in town hanging around, and it saved me time. Drawing other people in. So when she finally got a flat, it was pretty disgusting. And we got a group from church to paint the flat and to make it lovely for her. So seeing the community coming, it wasn't just me and her, it was a community. So that's the first point. Learning to love is costly. Learning to love also brings much joy. So realizing that the gospel's for everybody. We laughed so much. I made loads of mistakes. It was just when she kicked off and got into trouble and the police arrived, she always wanted to be handcuffed to the best looking policeman. She was absolutely hilarious. She was I tried to be creative in helping her to see how she could serve. Little old lady called Beatrice, who was 104 when she died. Little old lady. She used to forget to come to church. I mean, you can't blame her at that age, can she? Can you? So we used to ask Cheryl, who was dangerous, to go and fetch our very precious little old lady. What could possibly go wrong? And Cheryl would walk to Beatrice's flat, bring her down to church. So big woman, little woman, Cheryl holding the massive old lady's handbag. And she would gently, kindly bring our precious old lady to church. What an amazing thing to see. So trying to be creative in loving people and helping her to use her gifts. She was gentle and kind with people she wasn't scared of. And she softened, and you could see the Lord's love in her. Coffee, she did coffee, professor of business studies and her doing coffee together. It was hilarious, and they did well. So three challenges for you. Are you willing? Are you willing to love? Are you willing to be stretched? Paul uses the metaphor of childbirth. He wasn't joking. You will be hurt. Hurt people. And you will make mistakes. Some people are very hard to love. Are we willing to walk towards people a little step at a time, starting maybe with a smile? That's a good place to start. Are you willing? Are you aware of your own stuff? Ask the Lord, ask friends to help you to see where you have difficulties and issues. Do you need to be needed? Are you a rescuer? How good are you at boundaries, emotional boundaries? Are you able to be gentle and listen? Listening produces empathy, I think. Are you aware of dangers of dependency and codependency? And are you aware that it's what the Lord thinks of you that matters? Are you able to trust him when things look like they're going to go massively pear-shaped? So are you willing? Are you aware of your own stuff? And then lastly, are you convinced it's the Lord's work? He is the chief shepherd and we are the under shepherds. And that gives us a wonderful freedom and grace to make mistakes. And as we love his precious people, we are showing that we love him, aren't we? It's his work. And what I think is wonderful is tiny choices and things I do, lifts, conversations, that kind of stuff, makes a massive difference. Very insignificant service is something that is glorious and eternal. So I just want to finish with some verses. It's weird how close it is to what John's just been saying. You'd almost think the Holy Spirit was kind of behind what he's teaching us here. But these are the verses I want to read as I close. It's Paul speaking to the Thessalonian Christians again, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 19. For what is our hope, our joy, or the crown in which we will glory in the presence of our Lord Jesus when he comes, is it not you? And that is the big thing, is that me and Cheryl will be standing before the Lord's throne together. We will both be mended and made new and like Jesus. And that is the most wonderful thing. That is the kind of thing that encourages us to love those that the Lord puts around us.